I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Once again, it's good to be with you, Ken.
With the government recently releasing its intergenerational report, the likely effect baby boomers will have on our economy comes back into focus. Where do you see the greatest impact will be?
The greatest impact. Well, where should we begin? I suppose the baby boomers are going to obviously start downsizing en masse. Some will be smart and do it before they need to. Others will simply live in their existing family homes in the middle part around the capital cities. It's not necessarily close in, but not in the far out part. Just there's a lot of suburbs in the middle area which are older Edwardian type houses, and those are the ones that are probably likely to be affected. Now, at the moment, because of the global financial crisis, there has been catch up going on in the property sales because people stayed where they were for so long. The market dipped, it's now come up again. And I think in earlier podcasts we talked about the average growth since the global financial crisis till now has probably only been about 3.5%, maybe 4% per annum. Sure, it's been higher in the last 2 or 3 years, but when you average it out, we're sort of getting back to where we were in the trend line as we were before the global financial crisis. Now, Sydney is a different situation because of its topography and geography, there is an undersupply of houses, and I would say that will remain probably for the next 5 or 6 years. Melbourne, not so much in the other capital cities, because it is not that difficult to develop new land. So there's probably going to be a more even growth pattern in cities other than Sydney. That said, in these older inner suburbs, as the baby boomers start to downsize, there's going to be a flood of properties coming onto the market. And I suspect that will, in that particular part of each capital city, will flatten out a bit, because many of the homes have not been renovated for 30, 40 years. The style of living was generally smaller rooms or more rooms, but not large rooms, whereas people now are wanting an open plan living. If you look at all the new homes being built, you don't have a sitting room anymore. You have a large kitchen, family living area opening out into the al fresco part. So there's a different lifestyle requirement. So as the baby boomers downsize, this is going to cause a bit of an issue for them, because they may not, when the momentum picks up, find they get quite the price that they're expecting. That said, what you will probably find as a general rule now is that the baby boomers will start to live where they now holiday and holiday where they now live. So in other words, if you've got a seaside property or a country property, that's where you're going to spend most of your time. And you will probably have a for want of a better word, a replica of your city-based property, and it may not even be a house or a townhouse, it may well be an apartment. But that's where you will come and holiday. It might be for a week, it might be for a month at a time. But you will start to live more where you used to holiday. So that's probably the number one thing. The second thing is that on the commercial side, the baby boomers who own their businesses will be selling them and becoming consultants. Now, not only is the government saying you need to work longer, but I think most baby boomers don't like the concept of simply finishing up at age 65 or whatever it is and going from flat out to stop. So they will want to become consultants, and we talked about this, I think, in earlier podcast where, in actual fact, sometimes they, yes, they run the consulting business, but their children are actually inviting them back into their businesses that they're setting up and having them there just to give a overall guidance, for want of a better word, and also credibility as far as talking to their bankers or major clients, that there is a wise head that's, if not on the board, certainly part of that entity that they've got. Now, it certainly won't be full-time. It might be that the children offer them the father an office, or it might be the mother an office in their establishment, and they pay no rent, but they're available for consulting as and when required. And that doesn't detract from the baby boomers' own private consulting. It just means that they are on call when required by the children. So that's what probably the main trends that or effects of the intergenerational or the baby boomers starting to retire.
So how is this likely to impact upon commercial property investors?
Well, when it comes to commercial investors, as these baby boomers become consultants, either, as I said, they'll go with their children in their businesses, or they will set up their own smaller businesses. And this is really what's been driving the strata title office boom, for want of a better word, in the suburbs around the capital cities. Now, I can't see that for the next 10 to 15 years declining, because there are more and more baby boomers emerging, and even if they have worked for a larger firm, they don't own their own firm, the fact that they retire or are encouraged to retire, most of them will not want to stop doing what they do. And it may well be that they have an initial arrangement with their original firm to do part-time consulting, and that starts them on their own business, and then they develop more clients as things unfold. Now, they may initially start in serviced offices, but they will continue to drive, in my view, the strata title offices in and around the suburbs. I'm not talking inner city necessarily, but they will congregate in areas close to where they used to live. That's what's driving a lot of these strata title offices, that people realise they no longer have to drive to the CBDs to work, and their clients, many of which are in the suburbs, so it's logical to have a strata title office near where they work. Now, they may buy it as part of their super fund and occupy it, or they may lease it. But either way, there is a growing and, I think, continuing demand for strata title offices. Now, the other thing is with virtual offices, and by that I mean, and I was starting to talk to my mentor group about this in the last webinar that we had, was these community office hubs. And these set up, and you don't lease space there, you become a member, and that entitles you to go in there on an ad hoc basis. It might be that you only go in 2 half-days a week or some odd time. And they're set up more to look like cafes. They have all the infrastructure, the IT, the photocopying, the printing, everything like that. Maybe a common meeting room that you can share, but most of the meetings with clients will be in nearby cafes or restaurants. But it enables you to have a collaborative environment. I mean, you may not necessarily work with the people there, but because of the different disciplines, you will find that you'll develop a network of business contacts to solve problems for you or to provide business between each other. And these community office hubs are generally being developed in close to where people live, and that's where they're seeking them out. Now, It may not necessarily be just in the CBD, because you were seeing them spring up in the seaside resorts and in the regional areas where people are deciding to, as I said, to live rather than in the CBD where they used to, or in the inner suburbs around the CBDs where they used to live. So if they're spending time on their what used to be their holiday areas, they may not necessarily have a home office set up, or it may be that the access to the internet is not as good as if you went into one of these community office hubs. So this is one of the trends that seems to be growing, and even I noticed that NAB and St George are offering their clients the opportunity to go into their community office hubs that they set up. And you don't necessarily have to be doing business with a bank that day. If you happen to be in the city, I know that NAB in Docklands have set it up, and St George in Parramatta and Perth have got these community office hubs where their clients can go in and get full office facilities, but they can just do it for an hour at a time if they want to, or for a whole day. It's entirely up to them. So this seems to be an add-on service that the banks want to provide, but it's not only the banks. The, you know, smart entrepreneurs are seeing to set this up and maybe leasing it to one particular person who will coordinate the other members. And as I said, you just pay a monthly or weekly membership fee, and it's a bit like going to the gym and you pay a fixed fee and you can go as many times as you want to. It's not intended that it be full-time. It's just as and when you require it. And it's not quite serviced offices, because you don't have secretarial staff and all that paraphernalia added on, and nor do you have to pay for it. But you have access to the very best IT and photocopying and printing services. But it's really the interaction. And it's not you necessarily want to have continual talking with people and that distraction, but some people just can't work by themselves at home, particularly if they've had their employment in a larger office. They just miss the meeting of other people and the ability at some point just to have a cup of coffee with someone and, you know, shoot the breeze. And it just seems to be the environment that people are seeking.
You just talked about baby boomers as potential tenants. What about their impact as buyers themselves?
Yeah, well, they will be tenants, that's true, but they are potential buyers because their parents are living longer than their parents' parents, but they're passing on now, and there will be a wealth transfer, significant, probably the largest that we've ever seen wealth transfer going on, to the baby boomers. So they will become potential buyers, and many of them will be what you might affectionately term wealthy amateurs. They may never have invested before, or they might have bought a beach house or maybe an apartment, but nothing, anything significant, until they get this major cash influx. Now, they're not going to put it all into property. I mean, if they're smart, they'll spread it across shares and some fixed interest, but there will be a significant investment. Now, they may decide that they are happy to use their super fund now, because they have other funds external to the super fund, to use the super fund to buy property, and it may be the strata office that they in turn occupy. Or alternatively, they may, with the funds they have, set it up in a good tax structure and go out and purchase some significant property. It's not going to be apartments, because we're talking, you know, $500,000, $1 million, $2 million that they've suddenly got access to. And as I said, they're not going to put it all into property. It's probably going to be no more than 40, at the most 50% of that will go into property, but it's going to be a significant amount of money. And they are going to have an impact in the $1 million to $5 million price bracket. And you know, in that sort of range, and it may extend up a bit higher, but understand that many of them will be first-time investors. So it's unlikely that they're going to want to put all their money into just one property. They're more likely to buy one or two or three properties just for the convenience of knowing that it's not, don't have all their eggs in one basket. It may be their choice is by geography, spreading it from different suburbs. It might be that they decide that they're going to split it between office and industrial. So it's a bit hard to predict fully because we've never seen this before, this amount of money being available. So as I said, my best guess is that it's going to be in that price bracket up to about $5 million that you're going to see the real growth. So that's the impact they're going to have. They may not be buying properties that they want to occupy. In fact, I suspect they won't, because it's unlikely that a property of that size is something that they would want to occupy. They might buy a property that has multiple tenancies and they maybe occupy one of them because they can then be on site to administer themselves or at least keep an eye on what's going on within the property. But the impact is going to be significant and probably something that we've never really experienced before.
How does all this affect your view of when the present commercial property cycle is likely to peak?
Well, I'm not sure that it necessarily affects my thinking. Originally I thought it would be probably 2017, 2018, but with the global financial crisis, things sort of moved sideways for a little longer than I think we expected. So my current thinking is that the market, certainly in Melbourne and Sydney, is likely to peak in 2019, 2020. Probably Brisbane and Perth will be 3, maybe 4 years later than that. It's a bit hard to tell at this stage, as probably will Adelaide and Canberra. But certainly Melbourne and Sydney, it's going to be around that 2019, 2020 from all indications that we've got to date. The baby boomers are going to underpin that, particularly in the suburban market. The main activity in the CBDs at the moment is driven by Asian money and institutions. So I think there's a fair spread of interest, and with the baby boomers inheriting the wealth, they're going to be new players and quite a different perspective that they're going to bring to the marketplace. So generally speaking, I think that for the rest of 2015, it's going to be a little confusing. The political infighting is not helping things. Confidence hasn't fully returned as far as economic activity is concerned. There's a few things to sort out overseas, but I think once we clear 2015, 2016 onwards, you're going to see much more consistent growth going forward.
Well, Chris, it's always good to hear your views on emerging trends, and I'm sure our listeners will have taken something from your valuable chat today.
Well, Ken, it's always a pleasure, particularly with such a topical item.